ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Over 100 years ago, in the mid-19th century when this was written, they knew exactly what made this country great. It was our Judeo-Christian roots. It was our faith in the true and living God. And yet, what do we see today? We've completely removed God from our lives. You know, we have to have more programs for this problem and more programs for that problem. Why? Why do we have all these problems? Because we've taken God completely out of the picture. And when you do that, you reap what you sow. You know, look at worship services throughout our nation today, the mega churches that are just huge. And many times, worship ends up being like a rock concert. It's more for the people than it is for God. And I don't want to offend anyone, but worship is not about you. We're not here to worship you. We're here to worship God. And I'll tell you what, when you're worshiping God, how wonderful it is. You know, the only reason we'll have a fog machine is if one of our electrical sockets malfunctions and it starts smoking. That would be our fog machine, and that's not a good thing. We don't need that. You know what? Is our worship simple? It absolutely is. But I don't need to make it complicated. I just need to focus on God. I mean, If worship becomes so complicated, then I'm trying to think about what I'm singing. Where am I at? Am I supposed to do this? No. Our songs are simple because now I can focus on God and just worship Him and praise Him. It's kind of interesting. We have experts that are in worship, books on worship, seminars on how to do worship. All we need is someone to sing, to lead us, right? Yeah. He needs to be the center of our worship. John D. Payne, in his book, The Splendor of Holiness, writes this: "Indeed, the so-called seeker-sensitive churches, well-meaning as they may be, put more emphasis upon what man will get out of a service of worship, unbeliever or believer, than upon what God will get out of it. To be sure, we are supposed to be seeker-sensitive when designing and executing worship, but according to Scripture, God, not man, is the seeker toward whom we are to be sensitive in worship." He goes on, "In the New Covenant, as in the Old, Christians are called to worship God in the manner that He prescribes, and not according to the shifting desires and changing fads of the unbelieving culture. If we worship in God's Spirit and according to His truth, the object of our worship will inevitably be God Himself. In other words, our worship will be God-centered. Therefore, to make anything other than God the center of worship is, in a word, idolatry." Wow, that is a pretty serious charge, but I think it's correct. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Does God give us new songs? Absolutely. In fact, the Scriptures tell us that God gives us new songs to sing unto Him. But you know what those songs are? They're songs to sing unto God. You know, years ago, we had two different Christian singers come out of, I think they were from California, and one of them, her name was Hoy, and she was just a wonderful singer. Oh my gosh, she was beautiful, and she was focusing upon God. And I didn't know these people, and that was my fault, my mistake, but she did a wonderful job. And then the next singer came up, and she was singing worship songs. And you could have put husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, dog, cat, horse, into that song because it was so not about God. It could have been about anyone. I thought, wow, I am never doing this again. I'm going to check people out beforehand because our focus is to be upon God. And if we can't speak about God in our worship songs, something is wrong, right? We shouldn't be afraid to worship God. And we have to understand that worship is there to worship God by, to get our hearts and minds focused upon Him. And then there is the teaching of God's Word. What we've done today is we've changed that all around, and now worship is 30, 40, 50 minutes long or longer. The pastor gets up, talks for 10, 15 minutes, and he's done. I don't think anyone's heard me teach for 10 or 15 minutes, sorry. That's just not me. In fact, John D. Payne again writes, "I have discovered time and again through the study of Scripture that it is through the primary means of word-centered proclamation that God advances His redemptive purposes in the course of history. This is precisely why the preaching of God's Word has historically held a central place in Protestant worship." Absolutely. You go look in through the Old Testament, and you look at revivals that broke out during times of apostasy, and every time it's when they found the Word of God. And they began to read it, and they were cut to the heart, and they began to worship God out of that. We talk about revival today. Oh, we got to do this, and we got to do that. You know, you got to be able to use a gimmick to get people in. And it sounds good, but think about it. Okay, if I'm using a gimmick to get people into the church, who have I left out? The Holy Spirit. Now I'm doing it. Okay, so now I have to use gimmicks to get people in, and I'm going to have to use gimmicks to get people to stay. I'm going to have to keep upping the ante, you might say, to keep people here because they're going to get bored after a while. No, can't do that. The Danites were trying to worship God the way they want it, and that is never, never a good thing. We worship our God in spirit and truth. And that brings us to the next point. It's kind of interesting what they're going to do with Jonathan, a hireling. Look at verse 18. "When these men went into Micah's house and took the graven image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image, the priest said to them, 'What are you doing?' And they said to him, 'Be quiet, put your hand over your mouth, and come with us. Be a father and a priest to us. Is it better for you to be a priest to the household of one man, or that you be a priest to a tribe and a family in Israel?' So the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod, the household idols, and the carved image, and took his place among the people. And then they turned and departed, and put the little ones, the livestock, and the goods in front of them." So this Jonathan is nothing more than a hireling. He's getting a better deal. Hey, now I could be a priest to this whole tribe. Instead of this one guy, a whole tribe. This is awesome. Unbelievable. He's not a true shepherd. And that's always a sad thing, you know. If we talked about this last time, I believe. If a shepherd is not interested in the flock that God has entrusted to them, then he's a hireling. If he's always looking for bigger and better, more money, more this, more that, he's a hireling, not a true shepherd. And it's interesting. They make this offer to Jonathan. He goes with them. And then it says that they're putting the children, the livestock, the food, everything in front. And I guess everyone else is behind. Why? Why would they do that? Because I think the tribe of Dan recognize, or these men of Dan recognize, that Micah might not appreciate it. And he would come after them. So you don't want to have the young ones in the back. Put them in front. And when Micah and his men come, we'll have our guys back there to protect. And that's exactly what's going to happen. But this guy, Jonathan, is nothing more than a hireling. He was not interested in Micah, and does he really care about the tribe of Dan? I don't think so. I think if he got a bigger offer, he would take that too, because he's interested in bigger and better and not what God wants. Look at verse 22. "When they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they called out to the children of Dan, so they turned around and said to Micah, What ails you that you have gathered such a company? So he said, you have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest, and you have gone away. Now what more do I have? How can you say to me, what ails you? Now, I don't know, this is kind of funny to me. Why is Micah so upset? You've taken my gods away. You know, when someone can steal your God, you're in trouble. You know, this is years ago, up north, within this Catholic Church, they stole the God, this saint of missing things. Someone stole it. So how do you find your missing thing if your saint of missing things is gone? You see, it's crazy. But look at here. He has nothing. How tragic when your gods can be carried away. And that's exactly what happened. He lost his God. What more do I have? I have nothing left. Was that true? I guess in a sense it was true, but in reality, Almighty God was always there. He never left. He can't be stolen. He can't be taken away. And it's tragic today because think about the people that have their gods taken away by other things and they're left with nothing. For us, we have nothing to worry about. People can take all our earthly possessions away. We still have our God. They could take our life away. We're with the Lord. You see the difference here? No, whatever man threatens to do to us, nothing's going to happen without God allowing it. And in the end, he's always with us. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. That's a precious promise, you know? And I think that's why the early church was so strong, because they truly believed that. You know, Paul said, none of these things move me. He was going to Jerusalem. Everyone was telling him, look, chains and trouble awaits you in Jerusalem. Don't go, Paul. I was like, hey, none of these things move me. I don't count my life dear to me. Paul wanted to finish the race strong. So he left it in the hands of God and he did what God called him to do. But the reality is, this is idolatry. He lost his God. That's idolatry, when your God can be lost. And that was Micah. And really, if you think about it, it was the priest Jonathan, because he's worshiping these false idol or these idols. How sad. Look at verse 25. There was no deliverer because it was far from, or excuse me. Yeah, let's see, 25 now. Got to get my glasses fixed. And the children of Dan said to him, do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry men fall upon you, and you lose your life with the lives of your household. Then the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. So they took the things Micah had made, and the priest who had belonged to him, and went to Laish, to a people who were quiet and secure. And they struck them with the edge of the sword and burned their city with fire. There was no deliverer because it was far from Sidon, and they had no ties with anyone. It was in the valley that belongs to Beth Rehob, so they rebuilt the city and dwelt there, and they called the name of the city Dan after the name of Dan their father, who was born to Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Laish. The tribe of Dan were definitely into idolatry. Make no mistake about that. Just as Micah and this priest were. And I think we see this immorality come forth from this kind of relationship with God. This is not what God had called them to do. Does God call them at other times to destroy the enemy? Yeah. But where God had called them to go, and this is their own idea here. And here's the thing. If you're not walking with God, it's going to be reflected in the things you do and the things you say to others. And here it's just death and destruction with this tribe of Dan. For Micah, they basically told him, hey, guy, watch your mouth, man, because you're going to lose more than just your gods. You're going to lose your life if you don't go back home. And then, you know, after they got this priest and his idols, they come to Laish, destroy the people of Laish. And they call the name of the city Dan after their father or the son of Jacob. Excuse me. One of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, how many people lived in Laish? We don't know. It was a large area of land. So was there, a few hundred, a few thousand, 20,000? We don't know how many people, but they were wiped out. And they probably justified their actions, but this wasn't of God. And again, when you move away from the true and living God, when you're serving the gods that you've created in your own mind, or even worshiping the true and living God in the wrong way, there's a lot of death and destruction that's manifested in our lives, in our actions. And we see that. Don't we see that today in this world? I mean, look at, even in sports, the violence that goes on. We see it in protests. You know, these aren't peaceful protests. They're violent protests. I was watching, I don't know why I did this, but I was watching the Wisconsin Badger football game yesterday against Indiana. And, I don't watch professional football anymore because I'm sick and tired of their political stance. So I thought college football, it's a little bit better. And then one of the announcers, the one who is on the playing field, I guess, had this little report that she was doing. And it was about Madison and the great school, how the Badgers are a great school and a great team. And then they were showing the buildings in downtown Madison, all boarded up that had all the graffiti painted on it, And they said, isn't this wonderful how this community gathered around the murder of this one man? And look at all the good that's come out of it. And if I could have crawled through the TV onto the playing field, I would have smacked her in the back of the head like Italians do. And I would have said, what's the matter, you? You realize all these boarded buildings are from the windows being smashed. Some of those businesses will never reopen again. What is this good that you're talking about? Please explain it to me. And so I had to leave that game too because, blood pressure issues. You got to be careful. But that's where we're at today. It's so crazy. We think violence is okay. And what does Jesus say? We are to love one another as he has loved us. Wow. Well, let's finish up. Look at verses 30 and 31. Then the children of Dan set up for themselves the carved image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. Now, some don't see this as a big deal, but understand that the place of worship was where? We're told it in the last verse here. Was in Shiloh. That's where the tabernacle was set up. That's where they were to be worshiping God. And the tribe of Dan, what do? They set up their own idolatrous place of worship in Laish, or now Dan. And we've moved from individual idolatry with Micah to a whole tribe adopting idolatry. And by the time we get to 1 Kings chapter 12, it peaks as a golden calf is set up in Dan to worship God by. Again, were they sincere in what they were doing? I absolutely believe they were sincere. They were just sincerely wrong because it was in opposition to what God had already instructed them to do. Look at the confusion that was going on here with the people, with the tribe of Dan. It brought them into idolatry. It moved them away from God. And sometimes, we look at our nation and, we pray that we're able to get through these difficult times. But sometimes God gives us what we want as a nation. And it may not be that good. Judgment may come upon us. We have no problem promoting abortion, the murder of children. We have no problem with homosexuality. We have no problem with sin. And sometimes God says, okay, now you get what you want. In fact, you could read Romans chapter 1. That's really what it's all about. You've suppressed the truth. You know there's a God. You suppressed it to believe a lie. And now I'm going to give you over to these things, to this debased mind, to these horrible activities. And we're seeing that. And I don't know where it's going to end. Well, I do. God wins. And I hold on to that. But we've moved, this nation has moved so far away from God that we think that anything and everything is okay. And it's not. And God is not some killjoy in heaven. God is a loving Father who tells us what is right and what is wrong because he loves us. And as growing up as kids, I know for myself, I respected my parents, but I truly didn't always agree with them. I thought they were just big killjoys. And as I grew up and became a parent, I realized, oh my gosh, they saved me from a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. Thank you, Lord. Right? That's what our Heavenly Father is doing. And we need to, as Christians, continue to shine brightly in this dark world. This is a battlefield. You know, we come in here to get refreshed, to get corrected, to get encouraged, whatever. To hear from God, to worship Him. This is a respite for us. As we go through those doors now into the world, that's the battlefield. You know, there's so many Christians today that think that Christianity is just a playground. And we go around the merry-go-round, we go on the slide, we go on the swing and teeter-totter. It's a battlefield. It's not a playground. We want the world to love us. The only way the world will love us is if you compromise your faith. You compromise what you believe, and then they'll love you. But when you stand up for unborn children in the womb, how does the world look upon you? They hate you. It's a woman's right to do whatever she wants. Well, you kind of did whatever you want before. Now you got the consequences of that. And don't make two wrongs, don't make a right. But they don't like it when you stand up for what's right. The light is shining and exposing the darkness. I mean, can you imagine a bar that had bright lights in it? Would it succeed? Absolutely not. People go to bars, it's dark, you can drink and do whatever you want because it's nice and dark and you're hidden in the darkness. But someone turns on the light, oh my gosh, let's get out of here. That's what we're doing. And the world's like, oh my gosh, we don't like this. And try and put out the light. We need to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. I like that. Is the confusion going to continue to grow in our society? It absolutely is. Because he who controls the information controls the people. All you have to do is look at Russia, and you look at China, and now you look at America. They are controlling what people hear. If I just know from personal experience with family members, there's not one thing that President Donald Trump did that was good. Well, where do they come to that conclusion? The news media that controls the information that's getting out. Is that true? Absolutely not. I got a list of over 100 things, and those are just a few of all that he's done. And I'm sure that they would not disagree with some of those things that are on there. So, because they've been fed the wrong information, there's confusion and a wrong attitude and behavior on their part. I'm going to close with this morning. It's from 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of his saints, of the saints. We need to remember that. God's not the author of confusion. That means if I'm confused, I'm not looking in the right direction. I need to get back into his word. He is not the author of confusion. This world has confused us so much right now, but I can have peace in the midst of all this chaos, because I know the Prince of Peace. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you so much for these timely words, Lord. As we looked at confusion in the home, in the church, in society, in the government today. And Lord, that is not of you. That's what society, that's what this world has done. You're the Prince of Peace. And we're so thankful for that. And we just pray, I pray, Lord, anyone here who is confused and anxious and fearful and worried about all that is going on, Lord, fill them with your peace and comfort. For any who may not know you, Lord, that they would come to that saving faith. Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But if we repent of our sins and ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior of our life, we are adopted into the family of God. We've been saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. Thank you. Lord, help us to live out our faith as we go out into this world. Help us to be an example of you and to love people into the kingdom of God. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.